When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from the great state of Texas. The lead stories are: Uber's making a shift that frankly annoys me. The first Apple computer goes up for auction. Verizon throttled firefighters in California. Google Flights give you the lowdown on pricing. And believe it or not, the FCC has a podcast. I want to welcome you to episode 1308 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, August 27th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider by becoming a Geek News Central insider. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners and everyone that's part of the Ohana. I must apologize right from the very beginning here that there was no show on Thursday. I'll talk a little bit more about that in the very near future here in the show. We'll get into that in a minute. But for all of you that are brand new, I want you to make sure you visit geeknewscentral.com. Subscribe to the show. You'll find the subscribe links on the right-hand column of the website. Also, subscribe to the newsletter while you're on the website. You can watch this show on the Apple TV, or you can listen on Blueberry.com. You can listen on your smart home device by using the keyword to launch your device and say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. We're available on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, really anywhere you can listen to podcasts today. This show is available. We are live generally when I'm back in Hawaii at live.geeknewscentral.com and also on Facebook, but I'm here remote at this point. One more show remote before I'm back in the studio next week. You can join our chat room at geeknews.chat or request to be part of our Slack family by requesting access to our Slack channel. You can contact me via email at geeknews@gmail.com or on Twitter at geeknews. You can follow me on Facebook as well just by searching for the name Todd Cochran. Partner shows include, and all these are linked to Geek News Central, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear site being written by my team, the New Media Show, written or actually co-hosted by myself and Mr. Rob Greenleaf, and also the podcast Legend Show. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. This show is sponsored by the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast, and that's our good friends at GoDaddy.com. You can find deals at GoDaddy by going to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. The deals are changing. I'm expecting to get the new deals in the next couple of days. So take advantage of the deals now while they're on the website. Go over there and grab them, whether it be a 30% off a product purchase over there, 99cent.com, $1 a month economy hosting, or $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year, which includes a free domain, $1 a month, $12, again, with a free domain, which is an $8.49 value on its own. Definitely get to all that at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Your ongoing support of our sponsor here at GoDaddy allows me to do the things that I do, and I definitely appreciate that support. Hey, I just want to give everyone a shout out here. The show on Thursday, Kirk got it all ready for me. I had texted him on Slack and said, listen, I'm definitely not going to get the show out Thursday night. I'm running late with my client. I have full intention to be ready to do the show first thing Friday morning and get it knocked out. But as I wrapped up with my client really late on Thursday, they wanted to push for an earlier start on Friday to get the team out Friday afternoon. So I literally had, oh man, it wasn't a lot of hours. in between. And by the time we got done Friday, I'd put in some pretty long days all week. I came back to the room late Friday afternoon, early evening, about time to eat, and I just face planted. So there was no show on Friday, no release on Thursday or Friday. I apologize. I think this week everything's going to be much better, so I should be able to get both shows out this week, no problem. But really ran into a roadblock that I didn't fully expect last week, and I apologize for not getting a show out. But one thing's for sure, I've kind of forgot about how hot Texas can be, even this time of year. I think some of the top days have been 100, 101, 105 degrees. The humidity has been not that bad, all things considering. But I tell you, I've been busy. Even on off hours, not working with my client, I've been putting ad deals together. We've had some come in. I'm getting those ready to go back with a proposal. We're looking at adding more team members at Raw Voice for parent company, for Blueberry. So just a lot of stuff in the wagon spoke here, I guess, for a better word. Just busy, busy, busy as always. I am definitely looking forward to getting back to Honolulu. I did have one eyeball on the weather, and we got really lucky. We got really lucky in Oahu. You know, this Cat 5 storm that was going westward, which they expected to make a turn to the northwest, did. But as it did, it started to weaken as they expected it to. And within like 12 hours, it went 5-4-3-2-1 down to a tropical storm. Even though the Big Island of Hawaii got 30-some inches of rain, Oahu, matter of fact, I was asking the family, how much rain did we actually get? And they don't think we got more than an inch. So, we're expecting up to 20 inches of rain. So I guess we really dodged a bullet. And if I really go back and look at it, we've been in Honolulu since 1997. And to be frank with you, we've been lucky all these years. The storms kind of whacked the Big Island and Maui, but we seem to kind of dodge the bullet every time. And we have not had a storm, a hurricane, really affecting the island of Oahu for many, many years. I think 1992, they did get a little bit of damage from Iniki, but still, again, this could have been really, really bad. I had made the call and talked with the family and made the decision based on what we were seeing 36 hours out. There was really not a lot I could do, even if I went home. And if I did go home, then I would be home for a few days and I would have to return. So we made the decision jointly that I would not return home. Everything, and I had some friends that were, on standby to help if things went south at the house. But I got, two adult children, my wife, everyone's there. So, we felt pretty confident in our preparation that we were ready to go, and made the verbal call that I would not go home for the storm. So, I think things worked out. We got lucky, really lucky, to be honest with you. And counting my blessings here that we didn't get whacked. I kind of was laughing about it. I've got a roof that will probably need to be replaced at some point. And I'm thinking to myself, I just get enough winds to get a little roof damage. Maybe that will kick the insurance in. But you lose part of a roof or part of a shingles, you could sustain more damage, and the house might be flooded. And so anyway, no damage to the house whatsoever. And I'd actually called home and told my son to turn the solar power system off the night before. So I walked him through the steps on which breakers to turn off. And by noon on Friday, I called him. I said, "What's the story? What's it looking like?" And he says, "The sun's shining." And I'm like, "Really?" He's like, yeah, we're just getting a little rain, but the sun's out. I'm like, go turn the breakers on. Go turn solar back on, because it was pretty obvious at that point we weren't going to get hit. So that's what he did. And so I feel kind of dumb now at this point in having had him turn them off in the process. But all's well that ends well. And I'm here through Friday. Then I fly home out of Austin on Saturday. So I should be back in Honolulu. I don't expect, unless there may be an opportunity for me to head out to Columbus at some point in September. We're just going to kind of keep that keep my options open. But I should be home, I think, the entire month of September, and then there'll probably be some more travel in October. But I was looking at my mileage counter for the year, and I'm already at about 89,000 frequent flyer miles for the year, and very easily looks like I'm going to be going over 100K again, which, you know, this will be like the 10th or 11th year in a row that I've flown more than 100,000 miles in a year. So the miles keep on racking up. But as I have been talking to all of you throughout the years, I am definitely looking for change. And hopefully leaving Hawaii sometime next year. That is my goal. We'll see if that happens. Getting back to the lower 48 and being able to have a little bit closer tabs and being able to conduct business and not have to spend 9 hours in the airplane to get somewhere. But anyway, that's that, and we'll talk more about that later. All right, so just to kind of get into the content here, Kirk did a good job putting the show together today, added a few things. One thing that I've seen is this shift that Uber is making. And according to the Financial Times, they're planning to shift from cars to bikes and to scooters for shorter trips. And what is the deal? Why is it that because people can't store bikes in the cities, they're just relying on these bikes that you can rent? I've heard a lot of people being very dismayed about these scooters, where people are riding these little scooters around town and running into people. And bikes are one thing. They're kind of accepted in the traffic flow, and there's bike lanes in many cities. But these scooters are a whole different matter. And I've heard people from Salt Lake that are very dismayed about the scooters causing issues there. Some people love them for little short runs. But I don't know. What do you guys think about these electric bikes and electric scooters that you can rent relatively inexpensively to run around? I don't know. Maybe it's good for a certain generation. But if I'm doing business in a city and I'm dressed, let's say I'm in New York and I'm dressed in a suit, I just don't see coming out of a building and getting on a bike as something that makes a lot of sense. Still, and I guess maybe for some it will, but New York's a pretty formal town, and doing any types of business, you have to wear formal business wear. Maybe as you get on the West Coast, it's a little bit looser and people aren't having to suit up and you're just wearing, slacks and a polo shirt or something. I don't know. I just think that there's a risk too of riding these types of vehicles in running around town or taking a break and doing something. It seems like there could be a lot. And how do you explain coming in the office and have mud splatters? And I don't know. And plus the annoyance of them being on the street for people that are walking. I just think it's a little odd. And it's, to me, these little scooters that they're renting that are little electric scooters, it seems like a lot of trouble and potential trouble down the road. I'd love to hear what you guys think. geeknews@gmail.com. If you're a super Apple fan and you are looking to really score something cool, the first Apple computer is going up for auction, expected to fetch more than $300,000. So if you want to own a piece of Apple history and you've got some spare $100 bills in mass stacks laying around, this might be an auction for you. A fully functional Apple One computer just one of 60 believed to still exist, is going up for auction. So this is pretty exciting stuff. It really, really is. And we'll see where this goes. And this one was restored to its original operational state by an Apple expert. And they've got some videos on it as well. So $300,000. Verizon's under a little bit of heat here. Since the FCC abandoned net neutrality, we were expecting some problems. And this may not be completely related to net neutrality, but Verizon did throttle a fire department. And they had, the fire department had worked with the with Verizon to make sure this didn't happen again. But apparently last week, a crucial device used by the Santa Clara Fire Department had an unlimited plan that was throttled to unusable speeds after 20 gigs of usage each month. The throttling came to light in a filing made by the Santa Clara, by Santa Clara in a lawsuit that seeks to restore net neutrality rules. The device was throttled at a disaster response in December of 2007 and again June of this year, leading to some frantic conversations between Verizon and the departments. Emails submitted in court show that the fire department officials thought they had worked out a solution with Verizon to remove throttling after a similar incident happened in December and June. And they were caught by surprise when the device was again throttled in July while fighting the Mendocino Complex fire. So this is after they had worked with them twice. Verizon acknowledged that it made a mistake and how we communicated with our customer about the terms of its plan. Verizon also said it failed to follow its own policy of removing data speed restrictions when contacted in emergency situations. Apparently, they removed throttling in Hawaii for 3 days. That was a big thing that came across my messaging apps and so forth. But here we go. Here we go again. And you can't buy, you know, with Verizon on their mobile devices, I don't think you can buy more than 25 gigs now. I just don't think it's even possible to buy more. And, of course, Verizon probably treats all customers relatively equally. 25 gigs is a lot to use on a mobile device, for sure. But if you're a commercial entity or you're a city entity, and you have an unlimited plan, you expect it to be unlimited. We've always said unlimited is not unlimited. I don't think FTC is going to get involved in this because their authority is limited. The FCC has claimed that the FTC will protect consumers from unfair practices now that the FCC has given up its ability to regulate ISPs. But the FTC has faced a long, difficult process into trying to punish AT&T for throttling internet services on unlimited data plans. Of course, the FTC sued AT&T over the practice in 2014, but AT&T voided a trial by claiming that the FTC has no authority over AT&T's business. And of course, AT&T finally gave its attempt to cripple the FTC authority in May when it said it would not appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the company signaled that it wanted to settle with the FTC. And it isn't clear whether the case will be settled or go to trial. But again, after nearly 4 years, no consumers have received the refunds sought by the FTC, and nor probably will they ever. What do you guys think? What do you think about these unlimited plans? I think if they call it 25 gigs, it should be the 25 gig plan with throttling. They shouldn't be allowed to call it unlimited if it's not unlimited, right? That should be stopped. False advertising. Over at Android Police, Google Flights will make it easier for you to see when you're overpaying for airfare and hotels. And of course, one of the frustrating elements of booking flights online is being unsure about whether you're getting a deal. There's no such thing as a deal with airlines anymore. Let's be frank. They're just expensive. Cost of airline tickets are way, way up. But Google has a flight tracking feature that shows you where your price lands on a gradient with three sections, low, typical, and high. The feature is available on mobile for flights in the U.S. beginning today. So that's exciting. So you can look and see what the average pricing is. In addition to the new price tracking features for flights, Google is also adding some pretty thorough price tracking comparison tools for hotels. For example, if you're looking for a hotel in San Francisco this holiday season, not only can you see how historical prices compare to the current rates, you can also compare the price against other hotels in the same city within a similar price range during the same period. So I'm going to be using this for my Vegas planning for January. So very, very cool stuff. Link will be up in the show notes. The FCC is going to make a telecom, hopes to make telecom more interesting with a new podcast. And it just launched a podcast called More Than Seven Dirty Words. This is, I must admit, they came up with a great name. More Than Seven Dirty Words podcast. It's a series that says we'll explain policy issues, share stories, and otherwise make telecom interesting. For the first episode is the first episode is available and focuses on the FCC involvement in the Puerto Rico discovery. Did you guys know that Puerto Rico has something, I think it's called Act 20? If you have a business and you live in Puerto Rico more than 183 days a year, you only pay a 7% tax on all corporate and personal earnings. Puerto Rico, like Guam, when they collect income taxes, all the money stays in Puerto Rico. None of it comes back to the United States. I had that situation when I lived in Guam, but this is a special deal for Puerto Rico. For any of you that are business owners, I think, again, it's called Act 20, guarantees 7% tax rate for 20 years, but you have to live in Puerto Rico 183 days out of the year. I've got some friends in the podcasting space that are doing this. They were being taxed at the 36% rate for having a business, plus whatever their personal income tax level was. And they, when they moved to Puerto Rico, they essentially got a 29% pay raise. But yes, they have to live in Puerto Rico 183 days a year. Google has got something out now called Grow with Google. It's helping veterans make their next move in civilian life. And I did a little checkout on this. They've got some pages that allows folks that are retiring or people that are transition or have transitioned to the civilian world to be able to search for jobs for veterans. And you can use your MOS, your NEC, and your AFCS, etc. It's kind of limited. I inputted my old NECs, and some of the job pairings that came up for Honolulu were, well, not what one would suspect and not what one would be able to sustain a viable lifestyle in Honolulu. So I entered a multitude of my NECs that I've acquired over the years that would qualify me for a lot of different jobs, and was very, very disappointed with the results. I did some comparisons and chose like Dallas. I chose a couple of places throughout the United States and put in the same search results and found much better job offerings, much better listings with a more, what I would consider fair pay rates for the jobs exposed. It's just very, very obvious to me that Hawaii is such a, I guess for a better word, captured market. People that are there don't want to leave, so employers really don't have to pay the wages they should be paying for the jobs people are doing. So in other words, they don't have to pay the market rate of what you would pay in California or Dallas or, let's say, Maryland or Virginia. They're able to lowball these almost same exact jobs and offer literally $20,000 to $30,000 less than comparable job listings in what I would call the lower 48. So I thought it was just pretty interesting here, and it really gave me some quick looks into different job offerings over in specifically in Honolulu, and really made me realize what I've known for years is absolutely true about jobs in Hawaii, and that's why state jobs and federal jobs are so valuable. Because they just pay at an absolute fair wage rate versus the civilian market, which does not. by any means in Honolulu because they don't have to. They got plenty of people applying for jobs. And they know people aren't going to leave, so they don't have to pay them what the true value of the job really is. As a side note, Katherine Johnson, who hand-crunched the numbers for America's first manned space, is 100 years old today. And before the arrival of electronic data processing, AK computers in the 1960s, humans, as we know, mostly women, comprised the workforce at NASA known as the computer pool. And of course, we know from a movie that black women especially played a crucial role in the pool, providing mathematical data for NASA's first successful space missions, including Alan Shepard's 1961 mission and John Glenn's pioneering orbital spaceflight. So, of course, the Hidden Figures best-selling movie laid this out. But anyway, great congratulations to the woman who has reached 100 years old. Obviously, a mathematics genius. So very, very cool. Link will be up in the show notes. Good article on space.com. Ever wondered why the Earth rotates? Well, first of all, if it kept pointed at the sun, probably everything on that side would boil off. So we're lucky that the Earth does turn. But why does it turn? Well, that's brought up and discussed in some great detail in the space.com article. Some of you may be able to guess how Earth got its spin, but better yet, do you know how much the spin of the Earth has slowed down? Oh, that's a good one, huh? How much has the Earth slowed down in the last 2,700 years? So I'll leave that for you to reveal in the space.com article. Although I question it a little bit because it kind of shocked me. Link will be up in the show notes for you to check out, all right? All right, you got kids that are heading off to school. Have you taught them how to handle common household emergencies? Have you taught them how to plunge a toilet? How to reset a tripped circuit breaker? How about stop a cut from bleeding? Well, there's a number of things that folks that have fled the nest need to know, and they don't have to call mom or dad for help. This might be something you can share with a recently departed young adult from your house. Anyway, link will be up in the show notes. Also, there's a great article at makeyousof.com, five Mac app alternatives if you hate app subscriptions. I'll be honest with you, I've been starting to add up. You know, I'm actually doing some close analysis on expenditures here. I'm just trying to make sure that we're running a tight ship, and I'm looking at the number of app subscriptions I have. And when I totaled it up, it came up to over like $125 a month. VPN, Adobe products, and just on and on and on. And I'm like, what can I do to start reducing some of this reoccurring fees each month, just to kind of, you know, keep expenses in check? And Kirk found this article today, and there's a few things in here that I can use. I use LastPass. I pay an annual subscription for that, but there's a product out there called Secrets. It's a free app that basically keeps your password secure. And then there's a whole variety of different apps here. One that I found kind of interesting was a text expander. I'm a big fan of text expander, but there's one out there called Typinator. For those of you that may not know, because I do a lot of help with the support team at Raw Voice, sometimes we pre-script a lot of our responses, and Type Expander helps with some of that. But it definitely is an app that you pay for every month. So it's pretty cool that there's some replacements out there. Another one that's out there is replace Photoshop with Affinity Photo. I wasn't familiar with this one at all. And for basic photo editing, it's a great one. So again, replacing some Mac apps with subscription Mac apps with free, which is always good. Link will be up for you to check out. For those of you that are PC users, Windows PC users, the best non-Apple laptops at every price point. And a good article here from the folks at Lifehacker talking about what you can get for under $500 all the way up to the high-end laptops that are available out there, giving you a lot of performance. So those, a whole review of different laptops that are available. And again, the Dell XPS 13, my favorite. And I actually got my Dell XPS 13 on travel with me here, sitting right on the desk. It's been using it for some functions. It's definitely a computer that I really love a lot. And it's on this list from the folks at lifehacker.com. Moving on here, great deal on hard drives. If you're looking for an external hard drive, and I'm a, you know, be honest with you, I buy too many hard drives. When I see a deal on a hard drive, I jump at it, and then I usually, and I, right now I've got, I don't know, 4, 5, 10 terabyte or 8 or 10 terabyte drives in a box that are brand new. No, I don't need any storage currently, but if you do, you can put 4 terabytes in your pocket for a measly $85. It just blows me away how cheap storage is. And this is one of those pocket ones from the folks at Western Digital. You can save about $15 on this because it's available on Amazon for about $100. But this is a limited offer from the folks at Best Buy. If you're an Android user, there's some great apps for easy speech to text. And I'll be honest with you, I've been using my Android phone a lot. Been trying to get into it deeper. So I'm probably on this trip been about 80% Android, 20% on the iOS side. I'm definitely finding the voice to text in Android is by far better than iOS. Hands down, I think it wins by a long shot because I've been doing a lot of voice to text and comparing the two. And invariably, I will get absolutely frustrated with iOS. And I'll say one thing on one, and I'll say the same thing on the other, and it's completely different. Whereas the iOS got about 70% of the words right, whereas the Android app got about 90 or 95% right. It just really shines through in a big, big way, as long as you have a good internet connection. That's one thing I've noticed too, is if you don't have as good of an internet connection, both the phones don't do as well. There's some sort of interaction going on there. But speech notes and voice notes and speech texter and voice text, these are all great speech to text apps that are available out there. Definitely check these out for Android. A link will be in the show notes at geeknewscentral.com. How many of you have heard about this movie? I believe it's called Searching. And it's basically a movie about a dad who is on his computer and his daughter's computer looking, and basically he's on his computer looking at Facebook, and his daughter goes missing, and he's doing all kinds of searching to figure out where his daughter is, who she's connected with, who she's associated with. This is a really compelling new way of storytelling. And I think it fits a lot. I do a lot of analysis on the computer. I'm looking at keywords. I'm looking at my competition. I'm looking at what people are talking about. I do a lot of this. For me, this is really, really compelling in this new type of being able to do a narrative. And this movie, Searching, really kind of dials into what a lot of us are doing on a daily basis. With our computers and our phones and everything, and this is pretty cool. If you haven't seen the trailer on this, definitely check it out. I don't know if the movie's out yet or not, but I find this kind of storytelling to be really, really cool, and probably is going to make for some very cool movies going forward. Switching topics here, being that I'm doing a lot of flying around. I'm often pricing tickets for certain locations, looking for deals, figuring out when the pricing is going to be better, when I can use miles, all these things that basically goes into planning and doing trips and business movements and so forth. Have you ever found a deal on an airline ticket? Oh, this is really good. And maybe you want to go somewhere from the weekend. just remember that you can always cancel flight for free within 24 hours. Most airlines will let you hold a ticket for 24 hours. And if you book the ticket, long as you cancel within 24 hours, there's no penalty. This is a Department of Transportation rule that requires airlines to refund a reservation canceled within 24 hours without penalty. Now, I've made mistakes before. I booked a ticket and then like a few hours later, I go, oh my God, I screwed that up. And I called the airlines and I've always been amazed at how forthcoming they've been allowing me to change things up without issue. Didn't know it. 24 hours is the window. And they really have to do that. So in case you didn't know that, you do now. Also, many of us are flying economy class. Many of us don't have points to upgrade. And many of you regret or not regret or dread having to do long flights. You know, I've kind of perfected my own way of flying domestic and flying actually in coach, picking the right seats, trying to get an exit window, what I carry. I pack completely different. If I'm going to be on a coach flight, like one leg coming out here I was before I caught an upgrade on the second, I carry my little neck brace. I carry my own ear foamies. I have an eye mask that I put on. I found one over the years that doesn't get me too hot or is too restrictive. There's just certain things I do to make myself more comfortable for long flights. And the article over at lifehacker.com goes over some of the same things that you should plan for. For example, when I'm flying coach, always bring a sweatshirt. I don't necessarily wear it, but I bring a sweatshirt and in case it's going to turn cold. And also, if I'm flying coach, I always wear pants. And I bring a sweatshirt. If I'm flying first class, I wear shorts if it's the season allows because I know I'm going to have a blanket in first class. I don't have to, but in coach, you never get a blanket. So I bring a sweatshirt and wear pants if it gets in a hooded sweatshirt so that if it gets cold, I can keep warm because oftentimes they'll freeze you out. I can, those blow up pillows sometimes are good. Definitely carry on a toothbrush so that I can brush my teeth halfway through the flight. I always plan for sleep. And of course, if you can score an upgrade, that's always great, but it's very hard to get upgrades these days without paying for them. Sometimes you can score a deal at the check-in counter or at the gate, but be aware, many of these airlines award upgrades early, so that's never guaranteed. But anyway, some cool tips for flying for you today here on Geek News Central. Back to the tech, Apple won't release a new iPad mini this year, according to a report. So basically, there's evidence out there that said this could be the end of the iPad mini. And I've got an iPad mini. It's 2 or 3 years old. I use it for flying my drone because I want a little bigger screen. It seems to work real well, but honestly, I could probably do the same exact thing with almost any Android device. Also, if you're using Dropbox, there's some tips on how to set up your Dropbox and to make it organized a little bit better. I use Dropbox a lot. Matter of fact, right now, all of our submissions for the podcast award, potential winners, they're uploading their acceptance videos to Dropbox. One thing I found, though, is when you're using that as a place for people to drop you files, you have to really, really watch and offload because your storage can fill up really, really quick that way. But if you have a Dropbox account, there's some good instructions in this on on how to get more space and also how to get that set up through the Dropbox app. All right. YouTube is expanding its digital well billing tools to track time spent watching videos. So basically, you can get an idea about the amount of time you've watched on YouTube. There was yesterday. I had, there's this guy that does this wilderness show. He's building he's built a log cabin. Now he's building a outdoor stove. And I don't ever want to really live an outdoor life like that. I think I would become bored too quickly, but it's very cool to see people that are. And he had a video from Friday that was 60 minutes. And his normally videos are about 30 minutes. And I found myself kind of punching through a little bit. Some of the stuff I didn't spend a lot of time watching, And it was one of those instances where I wish he had made it a little shorter, but I was cognizant of the time I was being able to watch. There's several people on YouTube doing some very compelling content right now, and you can tell by their subscriber numbers it's going way, way up. I just wish I had the dedication and time to be able to try to do something like that and build an audience, but it's hard. It really, really is. And some of these folks are doing it full-time, building an audience and with no job. And I'm really amazed at that. I really, really am. All right, Craigslist founder has given Mother Jones $1 million to fight fake news. And does anybody actually read Mother Jones? I guess some people must. But he's been giving money to a variety of people. And as part of his contribution to the online space. But I don't know, does anybody in the show even read that website? I think as the Internet of Things, and for those of you that don't know what the Internet of Things are, we have an article that we're linking to that talks about the Internet of Things. And really, the IoT platform is really anything in your home that has a computer that is connected either to your Wi-Fi device or through a variety of wireless protocols. But I think what we're starting to realize is that our homes of the future and homes of today have some security challenges. You know, we all update our Windows or our Macs when the updates come out. We do our virus updates. We do our malware stuff. We're really, most of us are very responsible. Even with our mobile devices, we're updating them when updates come out. We're not waiting around. But what about the rest of your house? What about your Internet of Thing door lock? Or your Internet of Thing smoke detector, or your Internet of Things thermostat, or your refrigerator, or your smart home devices. Are these devices getting updates? Are they now going to be the gateway for hackers to get into our homes? We've already talked about printers and how printers were hacked at DEF CON. So we need to really start thinking about the devices we have in our houses and start trying to determine, okay, are these devices getting updates? Is there firmware updates that we have to manually do? Or is the manufacturer automatically updating? We have to start looking at every device that we have in our house and make sure that they are getting updates. Because if they don't, we could be setting ourselves up for big trouble. Someone getting into our home network, stealing files, tax information, stealing pictures, getting insights into our families, into what we're doing, our business, browsing habits, email, banking accounts, you name it. And the Internet of Things could be the gateway. You know, our thermostat in a home doesn't make a very attractive target to most hackers, but the most likely threat is someone to enlist a bot that would come in and basically attach itself to your device and then start collecting data and sending it out. They wouldn't be hacking you directly. They'd be doing a wide sweeping net looking for tidbits and morsels of information. So we have to be careful here. We have to make sure our routers isolate our IoT devices on a separate network. We have to be looking at the types of routers we're using in our home in conjunction with our IoT devices. I think as time goes on, we're going to start seeing more of these features coming to our routers and so forth that we have in our homes that build an internal firewall and have limited gateways onto the internet. It's something we all need to be thinking about as we move forward with these Internet of Things. And my house is full of them, you know, mostly smart home devices. I've got at least 3 different Amazon devices, a couple of Google devices, like 3 Netflix devices, Apple, you know, you just name it. All these connected items, Asana speakers, printers. It just goes, you just start thinking about what you have in your home now, and I think we'll agree it's something we're going to have to be watching out for. I don't know how a judge can ban this, but a judge has allowed a temporary ban on 3D printed guns to continue. A Seattle federal judge brushed aside CyberKnot with a BitTorrent protocol. So a federal judge in Seattle has ruled against Defense Distributed by imposing a preliminary injunction requiring the company to keep its 3D printed gun files offline for now. The district judge found Monday that the plaintiffs were likely to succeed based on their argument that the Department of State, in allowing for a modification of federal export law, had unwittingly ran afoul of a different law, the Administrative Procedure Act. In essence, the judge found that because the Department of State did not formally notify Congress when it modified the United States munition list, the previous legal settlements that the Defense Distributed struck with the Department of State, which allowed publication of the files, is invalid. So, in other words, Defense Distributed, which was a Texas-based company, or is a Texas-based company, involved in a year-long lawsuit with the Department of State over publication of those 3D printed files. By making them available to foreigners, the company was running against some foreign export rules or some laws. So anyway, long story short, some stuff changed. They're allowed to put them online. Now there's a new injunction. The thing is, these things are out there. Once they're out there, they're gone, because the files are available on numerous sites, including GitHub, the Pirate Bay, and more. The files have circulated online since their original publication in 2013. There's new mirrors of the files that begin to pop up. So these 3D printed firearms are on the street already. Nothing is going to change that at all. He's just trying to prevent more from going out there. But what's to stop foreign folks from coming up with designs? It's not. So I think this is kind of a frivolous lawsuit. The cat's already out of bag. I don't know how they're even going to stop it. There's a new robot that will hunt lionfish to save coral reefs. You know, usually animal preservation is a passive act, creating protected zones or taking other measures to protect plants and animals. But scientists and students at the Polytechnics Institute in Massachusetts want to help protect coral reefs from an invasive species in a more aggressive fashion. They're building a robot designed to autonomously hunt for and harvest lionfish threatening coral reefs. Why don't they just kill the lionfish? Lionfish have threatened coral reefs off American Caribbean coast for years, and the NOAA has described them as flexible predators, potentially capable of reducing the abundance of wide variety of native reef-associated fishes. So I guess this thing is, the goal is to be able to toss a robot over the side of a boat, have it go down the reef, plot out a course, and begin its search. He says it needs to set up a search pattern, fly along the reef, and not run into it while looking for the lionfish. The idea is the robots will be part of the environmental solution. And what it's do? A fish hunting robot. So what's it going to do? Is it going to capture them, or is it going to kill it? Does it say? Doesn't say what they're... Doesn't say exactly. They say harvesting. Kind of slow if you have to. I'm looking at the device, and I don't think they're planning on capturing. It looks to me like they're planning on spearing these fish. All right, well, I guess until environmentalists complain, that's what's going to happen. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes for you to check this out. I want a robot fish just to go get me some fish. I'm a lazy fisherman. I don't like going to the pier and throwing the line in the water. I just, you know, I'll go to the market and buy fish that's already been caught. All right, Apple could remove 3D Touch from new iPhones. They say this may be the death of 3D Touch. How many of you actually use a 3D Touch? I don't think I ever have. I kind of forgot it was an option. Maybe that's what most of us did. So it looks like the 3D Touch may be on its way out. But sadly, Apple invested like 2 years of engineering time to make this thing happen. So if they do, it'll be a major admission of failure here. A second Amazon Go Cash cashierless store opens in Seattle. One thing I found here with a client I'm working at, they've got a cool system. You go into, they got like a little gee-dunk area, and they've got sodas and just basic snack type stuff in there. And you pick up two, three items. It's not like in a regular vending machine. And you go to a little checkout kiosk and you self-checkout and scan. It's all on the honor system. You pay with your either a credit card or use your touchless payment system. I find it to be really easy to use Apple Pay right there, boink, boink, and you're done. But if this is a sign, and I do like it because there was more variety than what was in a regular, I guess we're better, rather, I call them a gee-dunk machine, a vending machine. Very, very cool. I guess it works when you're working with a at a place where the employees aren't going to rip stuff off. So, and I think they had cameras in there, probably monitoring people too, but very, very cool. And the Amazon Go cashierless store, probably coming to a Whole Foods at some point too, right? Apple Music is reportedly going to soon get Android Auto support. Ooh. Now, Apple doesn't make a whole lot of apps for Android like Microsoft does, but it has made an exception for Apple Music. It's subscription-based music service. The service used to be Beats Music, so it's apparently going to come to Android Auto. Very, very interesting here, because Google Play, to be honest with you, is a piece of crap. All right, you car buffs out there. A rare 1962 Ferrari fetched $48 million at an auction. I'm sorry. I'll be honest with you. $48 million for a car? Have people absolutely lost their minds? $48 million? I think about that. It just boggles my brain a little bit. I guess if you got it, you can spend it. I'd like to be the owner of the vehicle that just sold. But you probably had to be a multimillionaire to own the vehicle in the first place. But that's, wow, a whopping $48 million. And the 1962 Ferrari 250 GTO sold at Sotheby's annual collector car auction in Monterey. And it has unsurprisingly set a new world record. How many of these were made? Ferraris continue to lead the pack when it comes to buying these vehicles that are old, rare ones. All right, if you are a Mac buff and you want to revisit every version of Mac OS X from your browser, you can now do that from the Aqua GUI. You can go back and take a look at the early days of OS X. Link will be in the show notes on how to do that. Harman Kardon has come out with a $700 Google Assistant speaker. Really? $700? The one that they have that I've got on sale sounds wonderful, and it wasn't $700. That's some serious cash for a speaker that's probably going to have to be updated in 2 or 3 years. It's amazing. It really, really is. Final couple articles here. Google Pixel 3 launch might be set for October 9th. So those of you that are Google Pixel 3 fans and looking for an upgrade, I'm looking forward to an iPhone upgrade here in September. I'm looking forward to see what Apple has out at the end of the year, here in September. All right, finally, final article of the day. How much electricity is consumed by Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, Litecoin, and Monero? Well, by all estimates, those servers are using as much power as what country? They said they laid it out on how much energy is being consumed. It's a recent analysis places the Bitcoin network electric consumption higher than that of Austria, which is the number 39th of energy consumption in the world. So they're using. That's consuming more than, wow. Now, not only that, all these servers that are being built, you know, with all these cards, all the industrial waste, everything from the components in them to the packaging and everything else is coming out an incredible amount. It's amazing. It really, really is. Oh, they that was just Bitcoin. They broke it down even further, and how much is being how much power is being consumed, and it's an incredible amount. It really, really is. So, oh, it's saying all five networks alone consume electricity and other resources at an equivalent scale as the Netherlands. Think about that. The Netherlands has the 18th largest economy in the world. $825 billion per annum, and all these Bitcoin, all these mining machines are using as much electricity as the entire country of Netherlands does. That is insane if you think about it. Power companies, a good time to own stock in power companies. All right, I've got a few emails I think that have come in, and I got to find the right tab here because I didn't have it loaded prior to the show. There we go. GNC comments. And I'm waiting for it to load. I get an email from Michael who said, "Hey, Todd, in my opinion, I would much rather use technology from YubiKey for safe authentication. After all, their tech safely prevented all Google employees from any hacks for 7+ years. Then Google creates their own version with or without YubiKey technology, but definitely copying from their idea, probably just to save money and then profit by selling it to the public." So he said he would rather use YubiKey for safe authentication. I'm a big fan of YubiKey, and I would have a tendency to agree. Michael, thank you for your email, and of course for being one of our Ohana members here. Also got an email from Robert. He said, and he sent me this email that you mentioned in your latest episode that you'll be in Texas. Consider this invitation to the best Tex-Mex restaurant in Dallas. Glenn Frey and Don Henley used to collaborate there. Jerry Jones closed the deal to buy the Cowboys there. It's a typical Texas hole in the wall. Robert, you didn't tell me what the name of the restaurant is. Okay, very, very cool. But thanks, Robert, for the information. All right, everybody, that's going to wrap it for the show today. Hey, we did pretty good for our On the Road show, 56 minutes. Geeknews@gmail.com. Again, go over there and support our sponsor, GoDaddy. I definitely appreciate everyone that's also either up their contribution as an insider or have started. We had a few new people start insider donations. We really, at this point, I want to stress, it's a good time to become an insider to help the show out. I definitely appreciate any of you that do, and encourage all of you to consider coming in at the $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 level, or making an annual contribution. That always helps. We've got some big things, or I have some big things I want to do as we move forward. Time will tell if we're going to be able to do that. I just, again, it's a total resource-driven plan, and we're little short at this point to make it happen. So I hope you'll consider becoming an insider. I hope that you've enjoyed the content that I've been putting together for you and my insight. And I hope this show turns into a value for value. I hope you're getting value out of the show, enough value to contribute to the show as an insider and get on the dime with us and help us out. Again, you can start for a 6.5 cents a day. I hope that our deal offers that we find and we provide in the show saves you enough money in the things that you find to save money on in the show itself to be able to justify a contribution back to the show, like-kind contribution back, just like this 4 terabyte Western Digital Drive. It's available right now for $85. It's a $15 savings. If you come in at the $2 amount, that's $24 a month. We half pay for it by the savings that you're going to get just by buying that Western Digital Drive. So please consider that. If you go over there and make that purchase, which some of you will, pay us back in kind and us helping you find these deals that are out there. Not saying you can't find them on your own, but we're going to be providing those deals to you at the end of the show to help you find stuff to save money in order to be able to support the show. And I'm going to be start doing some more initiatives by making some more offers available so that if you're traveling or you're renting a car, all these types of things, you can help the show by, in the near future, we'll have a page up where you, things that you do on a normally day basis and making purchases on Amazon and so forth, will be able to be how you can support the show. You can just come in and click an affiliate link, go into your Amazon shopping. We'll get, you're going to pay the same price you normally would at Amazon. We're going to get a little money back. And I hope that you'll consider that. And that'll help. Again, it's a like donation. It's as good as writing a check. So definitely appreciate all of you that are considering doing that. We're going to make it more easy for you here at Geek News Central so that we can continue to fund the things that we want to do, keep the lights on, keep things moving forward. It's been my pleasure bringing the show to you today. I greatly appreciate your ongoing support. Thank you for being part of the Ohana. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. We'll see you next time on the Geek News Central podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.